Thank you for coming to the podcast. This is Top Turtle MMA Podcast on CageSidePress.com. I'm Danny Gumby Vreeland, joined as always by my co-host Shockwave Dave Tremonte. The UFC is on the road this weekend in St. Louis, Missouri. We've got a headliner between Derek Lewis and Rodrigo Nascimento. We'll, of course, be breaking down that fight as well as a couple other of our favorite fights on this main card as part of Fights, Dogs, and Parlays, where we'll also give you an underdog and a parlay that we think will make your wallet fat this weekend. Plus, as always, we're giving you the interviews you know and love. Kicking off the show this week, we're talking to Tabitha Ricci, who is fighting at UFC St. Louis. Also on the card and also chatting with us is Billy Goff a little bit later on in the show. But before we get to any of that great content for you, I do have to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Game Up Hard Hydration. Welcome to the game. Welcome to Game Up Hard Hydration, the new ready-to-drink beverage with sports drink flavor for adult drink fun. But make no mistake, this is no sports drink. It's a refreshing adult beverage with 4.9% alcohol by volume, a special blend of electrolytes, and way more than a hint of flavor. It's a drink that's, well, it's really drinkable. Should you stretch before you drink it? Certainly couldn't hurt, because Game Up is not a hard seltzer. Hard seltzers just didn't work out. Game Up plays entirely in a league of its own, and it comes in all your favorite sports drink flavors, orange, lemon, lime, fruit punch, and grape. It hits all the right numbers at 110 calories, 1 gram of carbs. It's gluten-free, and it's got no added sugar. Game Up is for MMA maulers, urban fitness freaks, peak-bagging badasses, tough mutter mothers, beer league brawlers, hot yoga hotties, high candy cap hackers, committed hornhole cluckers, or even just professional poolside posers who game up and get after it. Ask for Game Up wherever it is you buy beer or hard seltzer, and bring it on home for the team. Game Up brings you this episode of the Tough Turtle MMA Podcast, and it starts right now.
The hosts are ready. The fighters are ready. Listeners, make some noise if you are ready for Top Turtle MMA with Shockwave and Gumby.
Hi, and joining me today is Tabitha Ricci, who fights Tisha Pennington at UFC St. Louis. That fight is on May 11th. So, Tabitha, I wanted to start here. Obviously, a tough last fight against Lupita Godinez. You lose that fight by split decision. I want to ask, when it went to the judges, what was kind of going through your mind? Did you feel like you had done enough?
Well, I feel like I won the fight, you know, but no, split decision can go either way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, most people saw you winning the second, the third kind of being that deciding round. What in your mind had gone right in thought that getting the decision was coming your way?
Well, I feel like I connect a lot of punch, you know, I did a lot of damage. I tried more times the takedowns right in the beginning of the first round. She got dropped with my left hand. And then second round, she fell again. And I just was not lucky because it was right in the end of the round. So I didn't have much time to work more. But, you know, I just feel like I was more active. I know that she was coming more forward. Maybe they were looking like, I don't know, cage control, walking forward. You know, when you let it for the referees, we don't know what's going on their mind too. So.
And moving forward, is that a consideration for you about how much she moved forward and got the decision? Or because every judge is kind of different, do you, you know, kind of throw your hands up and say there's not much to change here?
I don't know how they look, you know, like every judge is different. But like, I think maybe she's coming forward and control the center of the cage. Maybe that will count more, you know. So I actually don't know what they were looking for. Really.
And so, obviously, this is your first loss in the UFC outside of your short Lotus loss to Manon Fiorot up a weight class, kind of a crazy fight to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, how did you deal with that? What was it like going back to the gym with kind of having to pick up from a new spot?
You're saying after Manon?
No. After having lost to Lupi, being the first loss since Manon, what was it like being back in the gym after a loss rather than back in the gym after a win?
Well, you know, you lose and you learn too, you know. I had a meeting with my team. We rewatched the fight many times. You know, like I learned, my team learned. We, of course, we're not perfect. We make mistakes too. So we check everything, what we can prove from that fight, you know. And it was very exciting to be back to work. Yeah, so I was very excited to back to training and get another fight soon as I can. You know, I feel I'm getting my prime soon, and I just want to fight much as I can. I love to do that.
I love it. Now, you mentioned feeling like you needed to correct some mistakes and stuff like that. Could you share with us what maybe one of those things that you thought that you could do better in this one?
No, I think I could try to not let for the judges, you know. Sometimes you can't let for the judges, you know. Sometimes you gotta risk a little bit more, or you know, like you just I try to in the third round, I really try like to full go forward, you know, and you know, do whatever it takes. But you know, maybe we have to try a little bit more. Maybe my coach have to yell at me more. I don't know. We sit and figure out what we miss on that part. And I think we working pretty good. And I'm excited for the next one. Yeah.
And we're excited for the next one too. Obviously, you said you're excited that it's so close to your last fight, but it's not the case for your opponent, Tisha Pennington. You know, she's been away for over 2 years. She had a baby in
Oh,
that time. What's it like preparing for somebody who there isn't any recent film on her, right? 'Cause she hasn't fought in a while. What's it like preparing for somebody like that?
you know, I don't care who I fight. I just focus on myself, you know, like I'm not even look what she's doing or anything, you know. I just want to get better, do my thing. You know, I'm expecting the best version of Tisa. Every fight that I train, I'm training for the fight of my life. Like I'm fighting for the belt, you know, like I don't care who it is. I'm gonna give my 100%. I'm gonna train until I die. Like I'm just gonna try to be the best version of myself, better and better than my last fight. Yeah.
I love it. Now, also, you know, when they gave you this bout, they gave you the name Tisha Pennington, but they also tell you it's going to be in front of a live crowd. It's going to be in St. Louis. Are you the type of fighter who that means a lot to, that you get to stay out of the apex, you get to be in front of, you know, fans and friends and family and all that kind of good stuff?
I do like to fight in a big arena. I think the energy, the vibe is different, you know. So yeah, I do like to fight you know, for the crown.
Absolutely. Now let's talk a little bit about the stylistic matchup of Tisha. Like you said, you like to go in there, you like to focus on yourself, you like to do the things that you do. But what does she bring to this fight that stylistically is interesting for you?
She's very active fighter, you know. I think that she have a lot of stamina. She also training Colorado high altitude, so you know she's ready. She's had that conditioning, a lot of volume going forward. You know, like both stands. I think she's a very active fighter. You know, so it's gonna be a very dynamic and high paced fight. So I'm, you know, that's what I expect for her. So I'm excited.
And obviously, with your last fight, sort of having trouble with the fact that somebody maybe was moving forward too much, and you were moving backwards a little more. Has that been an increase in your preparation, worrying about how much you're moving forward, how much you're pushing her back?
Yeah, everything's up improved, you know. It was more like strategic, you know, for a Lopez fight. But you know, every fight there's a different type of strategic we work on it. So for this is gonna be different, and we don't know what's gonna come. You know, you guys will see.
All right. Well, you know, I usually like to end these things with a prediction. You said you'd like to keep the judges out of this one. So, how do you see this ending come May 11th?
Finish for sure. Anywhere.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. This has been Tabitha Ricci, who fights Tisha Pennington at UFC St. Louis. That fight, once again, May 11th. Tabitha, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate for having me.
Well, we sure hope you enjoyed that interview with Tabitha Ritchie. I am Shockwave Dave Tremonti, and with me, as always, is Daniel Gumby Vreeland, the co-host of Top Turtle MMA Podcast. Gumby, we are just going to get right into things because we got kind of a fun card, I think. You know, when Derek Lewis is fighting, it's always wild and fun. So let's get into fights, dogs, and parlays for UFC St. Louis. But before we do that, actually, little housekeeping here. Does anyone sponsor this edition of Fights, Dogs, and Parlays, Gumby?
Absolutely. Fights, Dogs, and Parlays is brought to you by Game Up Hard Hydration. Welcome to the game. Welcome to Game Up Hard Hydration, the new ready-to-drink beverage with sports drink flavor for adult drink fun. But make no mistake, this is no sports drink. This is a refreshing adult beverage with 4.9% alcohol by volume, a special blend of electrolytes, and way more than a hint of flavor. And it comes in all your favorite sports drink flavors: orange, lemon lime, fruit punch, and grape. And it hits all the right numbers at 110 calories, 1 gram of carbs. It's gluten-free, and it's got no added sugar. Ask for Game Up wherever it is you buy beer or hard seltzer. and bring it on home for the team.
Wait, are you telling me I could get a little buzzy buzz, but still stay hydrated?
Bingo! What is better than that after a round of jiu-jitsu?
I love it. Game of Heart Hydration. We love those guys. All right, let's get into it. We'll start with the main event. Derek Lewis. I mean, at this point, if you're listening to this show as an MMA nerd and you don't know, and you don't know Derek Lewis, well, I'm just going to assume you do. He is 1-4 in his last five. Of course, the one win over Marcus Rogério de Lima was a TKO via punches, but he's lost to Sergey Pavlovich via TKO, Tai Tuivasa via KO, got submitted by Spivak, and he's coming off a unanimous decision loss to Jalton Almeida. I think we're at the end of times for Derek Lewis, but he's one of those guys when you bet against him is typically when he comes through. And in this case, facing Rodrigo Nascimento, who's on a 3-fight win streak. If you want to know his total record in the UFC, he's 5-1-1 no contest, but looked more or less pretty impressive since debuting. But he finds himself the slight dog here to Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis, the -150 favorite, and Nascimento, the +125 dog. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Derek Lewis. Half of it's a nostalgia play, and half of it's that I just kind of feel like Rodrigo Nascimento is going to stand and trade with him on the feet, which I think is a massive issue. Because if you look at Rodrigo's last five fights, he's got 3 takedowns. All 3 of them came against Tanner Boser, who was just a glorified light heavyweight in there. And he actually only went 3-for-7 against Tanner Boser, too. So it's not like there's a real clear path to Rodrigo Nascimento taking down Derek Lewis. Now, as you mentioned, he's on a 3-fight winning streak. 4 fights if you count the no contest due to the positive test there. But you want to peel it back one more than that. The loss was to Chris Daukaus, and it was by knockout in very quickly. Okay, he lost that fight in just 45 seconds. If you can't take the punches from Chris Daukaus, and I was just talking about glorified light heavyweights, you aren't going to be able to take a Derek Lewis punch. I've got massive concerns about his chin. The fact that he lasted 15 minutes with Tanner Boser, or Ilir Latifi, or Dontayle Mays, those don't impress me. I'm saying he's going to eat a Derek Lewis right hand, and we're going to have an early night here.
All right, I like it. And not a bad call, not a bad call. Joaquin Buckley is a -165 favorite to Nursultan Ruzabayev, a +140. Joaquin Buckley is on a 3-fight win streak, which is nice to see. He's got 2 TKOs in there, coming off a TKO win over Vicente Luque back in March. And Ruzabayev is 2-0 in the UFC. Both fights have been ended via punches, KO, TKO. He had a performance of the night in his debut in the UFC. But this is a man, don't get it twisted. He is a hardened veteran at this point. His total career record is 34-8-2. So he's been doing the damn thing for a long time, even though he's just age 30. Who you got here?
I'm going to go with the dog. I like Nursultan Ruzabayev here. First of all, the big piece for me is that he's coming down to welterweight here, which has a lot of people, you know, saying that he probably can't do it, or that they think he can't do it because he's been a middleweight for a large portion of his career, except for some of his fights back in Russia. But the thing I do like about it is the massive size advantage he's going to have over Joaquin Buckley here. He has got 7 inches of height on this guy. And it's not like Joaquin Buckley is going to nullify that with the wrestling, right? Like, we know Joaquin Buckley likes to stand and trade. This is a fight that is going to take place on the feet unless Ruzabayev decides it's not going to. And personally, I think Ruzabayev likes it on the feet here. He's got a sensational power in his hands. And that 7-inch reach advantage, I think, is just going to come into play over and over and over again here. Because, you know, you want to look back at all of his losses on his record. You know, you mentioned he's got 8 losses in his career. Almost all of them are just against better cardio, tougher wrestlers on the Russian regional scene, and good level Russians too. Like, he lost to Razabanov, who's going to be on PFL in a couple of weeks. So this is a guy who I think is should be more heavily touted. I think he's going to piece up Joaquin Buckley on the feet here and get the KO.
Carlos Ulberg is a -245 favorite to Alonzo Menafield, a +200 dog. Ulberg is in the UFC, he's 6-1, and he is on a 5-fight win streak. He's coming off a rear naked choke over Jung Da-un back in September of last year of 2023. Alonzo Menafield is actually on a nice run himself. He's 4-0-1 in his last 5. The draw was to Jimmy Crute, a majority draw. He was also deducted a point in that for grabbing the fence, so worth noting that. But at this point, he's been in the UFC since 2018. In the UFC, he's 9-3-1 on a run here, but a pretty sizable dog at 2-1. Who you got?
I like Carlos Ullberg in this fight. I do like the run Manafield has been on. He looks like he's really refined a lot of the things here. But the problem for me is I think he's wildly outmatched on the feet. If you look at the way that Carlos Ullberg strikes, he looks like a former kickboxer, which is exactly what he is. He has got all of the tools here to absolutely piece up Alonzo Manafield on the feet. I mean, I guess I could see Manafield trying to drag this to the ground. I don't know what kind of sustained success he can have there, because the other thing is, after that one loss for Ullberg, which is against Kennedy Enzachukwu, he sort of learned that he can't gas himself out. He can't be giving up takedowns. He can't be in that kind of gritty battle. And he's done an excellent job of avoiding it. So I think he avoids that here against Menafield too. And I'm going to take Ullberg.
All right. Our underdog of the week is Terrence McKinney. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Terrence McKinney here against Esteban Ribovich. I like Esteban Ribovich as a prospect. I think we're just getting far too quick of a step up for this guy, far too fast. Because while we've seen issues with Terrence McKinney, we've seen Terrence McKinney maybe not look as good from time to time, we've also seen Esteban Ribovich have trouble with his own cardio, right? We saw him have trouble with the wrestling of Loic Radziboff. We saw Loic Radziboff take him down repeatedly. And in this fight, I think Terrence McKinney could use some of his wrestling. I also really hope he's been working on his cardio and not being a one-round fighter anymore, because he's obviously had some issues with that in the past. But I think that Ribovich here is hittable enough that even if he does come in with that one-round version of himself, I think he's going to tackle him. So give me Terrence McKinney here, plus 145.
All right, our parlay to play is Rebelles d'Espagnol, minus 180, and Matheus Rebecki, a minus 310. Pair those two very hard names to say together, and it gets you plus 106 odds.
Yeah, I like Despongay here at negative 150. He's going to be fighting Waldo Cortez Acosta. Obviously, he showed some weaknesses in his debut, granted, as short as it was. He looked like he was going to get tripped there early on. But the power this guy has, no matter where he's going, at his size, at his skill level, in terms of his taekwondo, right? Like, this guy is high-level taekwondo here. I think he's going to be fighting a boxer in Waldo Cortez Acosta, who shows a lot of holes, shows that he's very hittable and doesn't put his foot on the gas. So I think Despongay is just going to have his way with him. And with Rembecki, I've been high on this guy since he debuted. He fought Matthews Gamra in a grappling match in the Polish scene. And look, it was a phenomenal grappling match. Now he's going to be fighting Carlos Diego Fajeda. I think he has a wrestling advantage over Fajeda. And he spams those overhand rights, which I think could possibly land on Carlos Diego Fajeda as well. So let's get those two together and get some plus money on the other side.
Boom. Well, we hope you enjoyed that edition of Fights, Dogs, and Parlays. Let us know if we did you right or did you dirty with some of these picks at Top Turtle MMA on the social media. Gumby, we're having a party. Let's not let it stop. What should we do now?
Well, we're going to transition now to my interview with Billy Goff, who is also fighting this weekend at UFC St. Louis. We're going to get to that interview for you right now. All right, joining me today is Billy Goff, who fights Trey Waters at UFC St. Louis. That fight is on May 11th. So, Billy, I wanted to start here. You know, obviously your debut, phenomenal. Couldn't have gone better. You pick up a solid win over a great prospect in Kinoshita. But now we're waited 9 months to sort of build on that momentum. And I'm assuming there's something that holding it up because, you know, you're a guy who likes to fight often. And what was sort of the holdup to getting the sophomore fight in there?
Yeah, no, I was, I definitely wanted to keep the momentum going. I mean, Bisping asked me about it in the cage. And I wanted to, I like fighting three times a year at least. Right after the Kenosha fight, when I got back, I got a car accident. So that kind of threw me off for a few months. And then when I was trying to get a fight, it took me a bit. They weren't really giving me too many options. So it took a while. And which was probably a good thing, because it gave me the chance to have a longer camp, get in better shape.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, I want to ask quickly about the car accident. Was it something that kept you out of commission for a long time? Were you still able to train a little bit? Like, how bad of injuries are we talking here?
So, I wasn't injured. I didn't break anything. There was no brain. The CT scan came back with no brain trauma. It was just my back was really sore and stiff, so I didn't want to mess it up. So, it took me about a month to ease back into training, and then I started training harder, getting back in shape, getting healthier, kind of taking a month easy right after a fight, kind of you fall off, you get it. It's harder to, easier to stay in shape than get in shape. So it was, I just had to get back in shape and get back to it. And then it took me a while to try to get a fight.
Now, you also mentioned in there that it gave you a chance to work on some things to make sure that, you know, your camp was dialed in and everything was perfect. It seems like over the last five fights, which have all ended in first or second round KOs, you've been pretty dialed in. So what is it that you felt like maybe you needed to work on?
The biggest things that I need to work on is just being more present in the cage, being a little better mentally, better fight IQ, and a couple fight habits to where I am controlling the fight a bit more. I'm controlling the striking, the grappling, instead of having to rely on just my pressure alone.
Interesting. And now what sort of led you to feeling like you're not in control? Were there moments in past fights that made you feel like that? Is there something your coaches pointed out?
It's a mix of both, because it's mostly that, and it's not that I'm not, because I can take control by pushing the pace, by being very aggressive. But I get hit at times because of that, because I'm constantly in your face and I'm constantly coming at you. And I'm trying to just avoid getting hit as much. That's the biggest thing. So I can push the pace or take a step back or control it in whichever way I want to, not just by pushing the pace.
I dig that. Now, I want to ask, too, about your coaching, because, you know, there's a lot of people who, when they hit the bright lights of the UFC, they find one of those big gyms and sort of tack themselves on, or maybe that's a move they make even before then, but you're one of those guys who's got that small gym feel. Team Dexter Valley Tudo, the gym in Groton, Connecticut. It's kind of like, it's one of those smaller gyms that not a lot of people have heard of. So what sort of left you still working in that, like, more personal scenario rather than, you know, doing what a lot of other people are doing?
Well, it's just you got to be able to trust the team around you. And you usually, people, they'll change gyms because they think they're the best guy in the gym and they're not getting as much work as they could. But I'm still constantly learning things from my coaches, Coach Dexter and Coach Kierkor. I'm always learning. I'm always growing under them. I can see how they're better than me at what they're trying to teach me. I've got teammates who are beating me in striking who are better grapplers than me. I've got teammates who have more knowledge in certain, just like life, nutrition, everything. So there's, even though we have a small team, there's a large pool of resources that I can still learn from. So why would I leave somewhere that is still giving me a lot? And it helps when you're going through this process to trust the people next to you, to know that they're going to give 110% for you. And when they believe in you, you can trust in that because they've been there for the whole ride.
I dig that. Now, I want to ask you about this fight coming up with Triggers, because it's a really interesting one. But before, obviously, you're getting what kind of everybody in the UFC wants right now, and that's a chance to fight in front of a live crowd. And the UFC has booked you in back-to-back ones in live crowds, right? After getting off the Contender Series, you get the big Singapore stadium. Now you're getting the stadium in St. Louis. How excited are you that you're not getting shoved back in the Apex? Because I know some people love it, some people hate it.
I love the Apex. I don't. I enjoy it a lot. I loved it because I can hear my coach really easily, so it makes that easy. And the crowd is kind of just white noise when I'm out there. So it is what it is, but I'm prepared to be in the crowd or be at the Apex. Either works.
So if you have your druthers, if you get your pick of all of this, next fight, throw me in the Apex again?
Yeah, I'll take the Apex any day of the week.
Okay.
Because now, I mean, where I'm at, I don't need to get huge fights. I don't need to get huge names, and I don't need to draw big crowds. I'm not on the main card, so I don't need to sell pay-per-view points. All I need to do is stack wins and get momentum so that eventually when I go for those big crowd fights, when I go for those big names, I've got weight behind it.
I love that. Now, let's talk about the win you need in front of you, which is Trey Waters, and he is an absolute puzzle for your weight class. He's a guy who's got 7 inches of height on you, nearly 5 inches of reach on you. What is it like preparing for somebody that unique of a shape in this division?
Luckily I've got, there's a guy who, his name's Trevor Good. He's been training with me. He fights out of Mass. He's 6'7", and he's got 77 inch reach, and he's at 170. So it's basically the same. It changes things. You feel the difference up against the fence. You feel the difference in the striking. And Trey fights in a very specific way. He fights like a boxer, heavy on that lead leg, keeps his hands down, leans away, tries to bait you into throwing at his face. So he's certainly a puzzle that will need to be figured out, but it's nothing that I can't handle. I haven't fought anyone taller, but I fought somebody who was 6'3", and I fought somebody who had a 79 inch reach. So it's not going to be so new that I can't handle it.
And that pretty much leads me right to my last question, which I always like to end on, and that's a prediction. So how do you see you figuring out this puzzle come May 11th?
I see me kind of controlling I'm going to kind of overload him on the striking, and that's going to open up a takedown if I want it, or it'll give me the finish on the feet. But I'm shooting for the first round finish, prepared for 15 minutes of hell.
All right. Well, you're here to hear first, folks. This has been Billy Goff, who fights Trey Waters at UFC St. Louis. Once again, that fight, May 11th. Billy, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great night.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the Top Turtle MMA podcast. We want to thank you, the fans, for tuning in each and every week. We would not have a show without you guys. We also want to thank our sponsor, Game Up Heart Hydration. I remind you guys that you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Top Turtle MMA in both of those locations. And until next week, I'm Danny Gubby Freeland. He's Shockwave Dave Tremonte. And we'll catch you then.